ترى سلك تكفيت هتان ليبرز من سير الماء سيد هتان يوم بيستم سبيتم زنجي ترى سامي بفضل من بدرتي فاكم من تكفيت بس تكفيت زنجي بفضل تيم بندق وزنجي ما Sort of reading, not from Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes or Krishna's birth pastimes, but from when Krishna entered Mathura, because one of the main reasons that Krishna appeared was to destroy the demonic, and foremost was Kamsa. And Kamsa was in complete anxiety, and he played such a part indirectly in Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, all the killings of the demons. Those demons were sent by Kamsa, beginning with Putana. And who was the last demon, Asura, that was killed by Krishna in Vrindavan, according to the Bhagavatam? Right after Keshi. Vishnu Asura was before Keshi. Give you a hint. Kamyavan. Vyomasura. Mm-hmm. Other acharyas say that actually Vyomasura was killed earlier. But according to the Bhagavatam, he's the last asura killed in Vrindavan. And then immediately after that, Akura came and took Krishna away. But there in Mathura, Krishna is going to kill many demons. But these demons were given the fortune of being killed in Vrindavan. But yet, and perhaps even today we'll hear about at least Krishna's meeting with the first demon he'll kill him, someone who's very inimical and very arrogant. And who was that? Who was the first demon that Krishna kills? The first person with the sort of mentality that Krishna kills in Mathura. Does anyone know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's called, in Sanskrit, the word is Rajak. He's a washerman. And Krishna is going to kill him. And washermen are considered, in India, they're not very auspicious, and they're very quite of a low caliber. And yet he was so arrogant, and we shall hear about that too. So anyway, Akura had finished his prayers just at Akura Ghat, which is at the border, just at the border of Vrindavan and Mathura. And while he was offering his prayers to Govardhaksha Vishnu and Anantasesh Balaram and Krishna, then in the water of the Yamuna at that place, that Krishna withdrew his form that he had revealed in the water, just as an actor winds up his performance. Nato natyam ivatmana. So Akura had previously been seeing Krishna and Balaram and the spiritual world, and then suddenly Krishna withdrew that. So when the vision disappeared, his prayers had ended already in the 40th chapter. This is the beginning of the 41st chapter. In the 40th chapter, Akura offered his prayers, and then when the vision disappeared by Krishna's arrangement, Akura came out of the water. And he quickly finished his various ritual duties. He then returned to the chariot. He had left Balaram and Krishna in a safe place because he feared for their safety, because he was in such a peculiar position. He had come to Vrindavan to bring Krishna and Balaram to be killed by Kamsa. So that was his mission. So, but he was a devotee of the Lord, so he was in such an awkward position. But he knew, especially after these prayer, after seeing Krishna and Balaram as Lord Vishnu, he knew who was going to be killed, and it wasn't going to be Krishna, it was going to be Kamsa. But yet, because he had a mixture of two rasas, he had some vatsalya, right? He had some paternal affection for Krishna and was protecting Krishna and Balaram. So he brought the chariot in a safe place where he would perform his duties and bathe. And while he was saying his mantras and offering his prayers, that's when Krishna appeared before him in the water. So then when the vision disappeared, when Krishna disappeared from the water, Akura returned to his chariot and he was astonished. And our acharyas say that Akura returned and his mouth was like this. His mouth was open wide because he was so astonished. So Krishna then in the third verse very innocently asked Akura, "Have you seen something wonderful on the earth or in the sky or in the water? From your appearance, we think that you have. You must have seen something that was incredibly awesome. We can tell that by your appearance." Krishna asked him that innocently. But he knew he had seen Krishna in his form of Vishnu in the water. And Akura, understanding that Krishna was the source of that Vishnu form, when he was looking directly at the source of the amazing thing he saw in the water, because if the amazing thing he saw in the water came from Krishna, ultimately, who is more amazing, Krishna or Lord Vishnu? Because the source of something amazing has to contain that amazing thing, and plus it contains more, obviously. So, which is more amazing, the source or the creation? So, since the creation or since the source is so amazing, Akura replies, "Whatever wonderful things the earth, sky, or water contain, all exist in you. Since you encompass everything, when I'm seeing you, what have I not seen? So you are the most wonderful of all persons, of anything in existence. You are the sum total of everything wonderful, plus more." And this point is very important to keep in mind when we hear of Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, or we hear of Krishna's Mathura pastimes, or we see Krishna do so many wonderful things here. We keep in mind that he has unlimited power. And then when we see him fully subservient to his devotees, that makes it still more wonderful. Because usually when someone is submissive or under the control of another, it is because he lacks power. Someone will go to work and have a job, or someone will go to school because they lack something. You go to school because you lack knowledge, even though in your case you obviously know so much more than you and your friends know so much more than the teachers. That's why you give them trouble, because they deserve it. But we lack power, and therefore we are placed under so much control. But Krishna still places himself under the control of devotees. Even though he lacks no power, he possesses unlimited power. So this makes the pastimes still more wonderful, because we see intimately the heart of Krishna and how he deals with his devotees. And through seeing this, we understand how powerful devotion to Krishna is, and we understand how soft Krishna is, and how Krishna is bhakta vatsalya, he's the servant of his devotees, and also we gain strength and courage and devotion and the ability to surrender to Krishna, to give ourselves to Krishna, knowing that he does take care of those who give themselves to him. So Akrura said, since you encompass everything, in other words, you circumscribe everything, or you, everything is within you, the parameters of you, when I'm seeing you, what have I not seen? You are the greatest. You have all beauty. When I see you, since all beauty comes from you, I'm seeing the most beautiful object of beauty, the perfect, achanvantam phalamidam naparam vidama. I'm seeing the perfection of the eyes. When I see you, I'm seeing the greatest of all strength, because everything in existence that is strong is springing from just a small portion of your strength. When I'm seeing you, all knowledge is within you, so everything is seen. Everything is known by knowing you. So when I'm seeing you, Akura answered, what have I not seen? And then the fifth verse. And now that I'm seeing you, O Supreme Absolute Truth, in whom reside all amazing things on the earth, in the sky, and the water, what amazing things could I see in this world? So he's actually realizing something about Krishna. He's a relative of Krishna. He's quite elderly. He's the uncle of Krishna. And he's having some realization of the beauty of Krishna, because his consciousness is so devotional, and he was willing to do anything to be able to see Krishna, to have the association of Krishna. So he was even willing to take the all the other yadus, so many of them were hiding because Kamsa was so evil. He was actually a rakshasa. He would eat people, Brahmins. He was terrible. I mean, even the worst of your friends, it's not like that. Do you have any friends named Kamsa? No. So Akura's understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, not only is he his nephew, so he's got these two rasas going on with Krishna. He sees him as his nephew, which immediately evokes paternal affection, and also he sees him as the Supreme Lord. So Jiva Goswami actually describes that, as we'll hear, that I'll tell you what he says when we're up to that point. So with these words saying that you are so amazing, Krishna, so we should get an idea of just how amazing it would be to see Krishna. And when people would say to Prabhupada, but we can't see Krishna, and he'd say, yes, you can, look. And he'd point to the deity. Because the deity is actually Krishna. And the more our consciousness is purified, the more Krishna reveals himself within the heart of the devotee. The more our consciousness is purified and the more bhakti we have, or the more pure our bhakti and the greater our bhakti is, then we can actually hear and perceive Krishna in the words that describe him in the Bhagavatam. The more we receptive we are to the wonderful message of Krishna. So Krishna is the most amazing. He's iha adbhutam. In this world, kim me dristam iha adbhutam. Adbhutam means wonderful. Kim, what in this world dristam could I see that is more wonderful than you? So this is our unfortunate consciousness. That in our unfortunate consciousness, we look to other things
thinking they are wonderful. And we turn our glance from Krishna. So therefore we are unfortunate.
But the unfortunate can become fortunate. We should become fortunate. So after saying this, Kim me dristam adbhutam. What more wonderful thing have I seen after seeing you? Then, with these words, Akura, who was on the chariot at this time, the son of Gandini, began driving the chariot onward. And at the end of the day, he arrived in Mathura with Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna. So he left very early in the morning, as soon as the sun rose, and he arrived at the end of the day in Mathura. Now, how many kilometers is it from Nandagam? Well, from Vrindavan itself to Mathura is, how many is it? 8, 12 or something? 6? What is it, Saitirini? Do you remember?
I don't remember, but it's only a half an hour journey.
But yeah, that's if you're in a car. No. Well, I remember it taking me 2 hours, when I, 4 hours when I was in a rickshaw one time. Well, it was, he had a pedal. But it took him so long. So there's a few reasons why it took so long. One is, when Akura was thinking that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and he's going to kill Kamsa, then he would drive the chariot very quickly because he wanted to see Kamsa die, because he was such a demonic person, oppressing everyone. And then sometimes he would be more in the mood of his uncle in Vatsalyaras, and at those times he would feel very protective of Krishna and Balaram. So then he would go very, very, very slowly. And there's another reason too. Of course, it's further from Nandagram to Mathura than it is from Vrindavan to Mathura. It's quite a long ride, actually, even in a car, especially with the roads the way they are.
But the roads wouldn't have been like that then.
Huh?
The roads wouldn't have been like that then.
Well, who was the superintendent of roads? Mathura roads. And this was village. They weren't great roads, and he had a fancy chariot. He was driving on the king's chariot. Do you know that? Kamsa sent a new chariot. He put a crew in a new chariot to drive Krishna and Balaram. And Kamsa was thinking, in his very diplomatic way, you know, these are just village boys. So just like, you know, young teenagers, they like to go into fancy new cars.
Motorbikes,
but especially fancy cars like that. So Kamsa was thinking, boy, this one, Krishna and Balaram see this fancy new chariot, which is my chariot, but it's new, never been used before. It will be, they really won't be able to resist getting in it and then coming to Mathura, and they'll be able to kill them. But Akura was thinking something completely different, thinking, I'm so glad that Kamsa's arranged a new chariot, because if he sent one of his old used chariots that he had driven in, I wouldn't want Krishna to use the remnants of Kamsa. Because Kamsa was, so Akura was happy and Kamsa was happy, but for different reasons, and Krishna and Balaram were happy for a different reason. Krishna and Balaram were happy because they're always happy, and they enjoy the chariot, they enjoy just bullock carts, because Kamsa was thinking they're used to bullock carts, and when they see this chariot, they've never seen a chariot like this before. The king's chariot in a village. So they arrived in Mathura, and another reason they arrived in Mathura, and it took a long time,
because it's explained in the next verse why they had to go so slowly. Whenever they passed on the road, O king, who is speaking? Maharaj Pigeon is speaking to, is hearing from Sukadeva Goswami. Whenever they passed on the road, the village people came forward and they looked upon the two sons of Vasudeva with great pleasure. In fact, the villagers could not withdraw their eyes from them. So everyone came out to see Krishna. And when they saw Krishna, they were not disappointed. Rather, their eyes felt, finally, the purpose of our having eyes has been served. Otherwise, the eyes are always jumping from one thing to another, looking for something that is going to fill them, satisfy them with beauty, because the sense object of the eyes is form. So the eyes are always looking for one wonderful form or another wonderful form. But none of those wonderful forms attract us so much that we just stare at it and can't take our eyes from it for minutes and hours and days and weeks. But Krishna's form is like that. And we'll hear some of the reactions to the people in Mathura when they see this wonderful form of Krishna. Gopis say that the Creator made Krishna's form so beautiful, but when it came to making our form, He made something completely common, because our form has eyelids that blink, and when our eyes blink, which of course doesn't take very long at all, then for that moment we are not able to see the form of Krishna, and then we are so unfortunate, we feel ourselves so unfortunate, because in the twinkling of the eye we cannot see Krishna. So just imagine hearing that, how beautiful Krishna is. And Krishna possesses unlimited beauty. So how beautiful is unlimited beauty? Of course, one has to have an unlimitedly pure heart that's filled with bhakti to be able to perceive unlimited beauty. But just imagine. So whenever they passed along the road, wherever they passed along the Marge Gram, the village roads, Jana, all the people, Rajan, O King Maharaj Prakrit, Tatra, they were here and there, Upasangataha, they approached Vasudev Sutau, the two sons of Vasudev, Viksha, and they looked. Prita Drishtin, they were pleased by their vision. Na cha adhadu, they could not take back their eyes. Krishna has, by his form, he steals away their eyes, so that they can't have them back. And this is what the residents of Vrindavan were saying when Krishna and Balaram were living in Vrindavan, when Krishna was there, they would see Krishna and Balaram every day in the village, because in those days people just didn't live inside. They lived outside too. They would go outside every day. And all the village people, from the men, the old ladies, the elderly ladies, the boys and the girls older, the boys and girls younger, the boys and girls the same age as Krishna, every day they would see this great festival of the form of Krishna. And that great, most wonderful form of Krishna would leave to herd the cows or something like that, and everyone would be in complete anxiety because they couldn't see Krishna. Then Krishna would come back, and everyone was so eager to see him again, like starving or like not having any air to breathe.
when the air, when you finally get some air, what a relief.
So it's like the lungs need oxygen, the eyes need to see the form of Krishna. The villagers could not withdraw their eyes from Krishna and Balaram. Viksha Prita Drishtim Natcha Adhado. They could not get their, take their eyes back from him. Text 8. Nanda Maharaj and the other residents of Vrindavan, so a crow's chariot near the end of the day, or crow driving the regal royal chariot of Kamsa at the end of the day, approached Mathura. And Nanda Maharaj and the other residents of Vrindavan, having reached Mathura ahead of the chariot, had to stop at a garden on the outskirts of the city to wait for Krishna and Balaram. So they went on a different path. They went on a very direct path. And the road from Nandagram to Vrindavan, it seems to have gone close to where the current town of Vrindavan is. And then from there, by the Yamuna, it headed towards Mathura. And Nanda Maharaj went in a more direct way with the cowherd boys. Went on a more direct way. So they went on different paths, and the paths, the roads joined at a certain point, and Nanda Maharaj was waiting, and they put their chariots in a high place so that they saw that Krishna and Balaram and Akura had not arrived yet. So they put their chariots in a high place, and they just looked with great anxiety down the road. When will Krishna, when will we see the dust of the chariot? When will we see the chariot? When will we see Krishna and Balaram again? Because Sri Jiva Goswami says it's the nature of love to be in anxiety about the beloved. It's just the very nature of love. And therefore all the residents of Vrindavan, they were always in anxiety about Krishna when he would go out for the cow herding, especially when the boys would come back with stories. Oh, they would come back singing different songs of what Krishna had done during the day, and then they would sing how this huge demon by the name of Bakasura or Trinavarta, or not Trinavarta, that was earlier in Goku, but this huge demon had attacked, and Krishna had killed the demon, and the boys were so happy and so proud. Oh, look how wonderful our friend Krishna is. He's our friend. But Mother Yasoda, complete anxiety when she would hear these things, and she would say, oh, you're a king's son. You don't have to go out and tend the cows, the calves. We can send someone else to do it. And that's not what Krishna wanted. He wanted to go out for many, many reasons. One of them is boys like to be away from their parents so they can play. So Krishna would say, oh no, that's just some story, some song the boys made up. There was no trouble today. Don't worry, Mother. Everything is all right. And in this way, he would charm Mother Yasoda. So they stopped. They were looking. They went to a high place. And Nanda Maharaj maybe sent some boys to climb trees so that they would be able to see first and let us know when Krishna is coming. When you see that, as soon as you see the chariot, let us know that Krishna is almost here. So this is the process of Krishna consciousness. Actually desiring to be with Krishna and being frustrated that Krishna is not here yet and longing to be with Krishna, but not for selfish reasons,
but for reasons of affection and service. Because affection always will mean service. Because when it's true affection, immediately you want to do something for the pleasure of that other person. That's what affection naturally does. Makes one want to serve. And also another reason why it took so long is, of course, spent so much time in the water, because he was seeing the form of Vishnu in there. That's what the purport says here. The chariot carrying Krishna Bhavan was delayed by Kuru's bathing. So then, finally, Krishna came. And this was only one day's worth of separation from... They hadn't seen Krishna for hours. And they were in so much anxiety. And they were so satisfied when they saw him coming. It's like they had gotten back their life. So this is what love actually is. This is what love of Krishna actually is. So then, after joining Nanda and the others, so the, all the Brijbasis were there, the cowherd men were there, the cowherd boys, Krishna's friends were there, Krishna and Balaram were there, but there was someone there not from Vrindavan. And who was that? Were they there? Were the gopis from Vrindavan? Maybe you didn't understand that question. They got to the garden, and the boys and Nanda Maharaj, they had come by bullock cart. And then the chariot came, and Krishna Balaram, and they greeted each other, and everyone said how the journeys were and everything like that. But there was someone there, not from Vrindavan.
Akura.
He was from where?
Mathura.
Yes. Akura from Mathura. Exactly the point. So, after joining Nanda and the others, the Supreme Lord Krishna, the controller of the universe, took humble Akura's hand in his own and smiling spoke as follows. So he's the super soul, he's the controller of the universe, he's Jagat Ishwar, that's the word they use, and yet he's acting in such a humble way, in such a gentle way. He's the controller of the whole universe. Just imagine if you were the control of the whole universe and what happened to those poor teachers. It would be sunny and perfect weather everywhere except on their houses, something like that. It would be raining and it would be snowing, and they'd be wondering, why is it snowing in my house in Perth?
So much so that they wouldn't have to come to school.
Yes, that would be the point. They'd have a school holiday every day.
But you wouldn't have a school if you were the control of the universe.
Huh?
Right?
But all the... Do they have water fountains in your school? Yeah? And they would all... It would all be 7-Up would come out of them and things like that. And ice cream. There'd be ice cream fountains everywhere. And all the teachers would...
It would be illegal to go to school.
It would be illegal?
Go to school.
Well, no, they paid you by the hour. High wages. And the students would get good wages for going to school. And they'd all have roller skates, and roller blades in the corridors. It'd be great fun. They'd drive from class to class. But you're not the supreme controller, so school is the way it is. So Krishna took humble Akura's hand in his own. Now, Krishna's hand, and Krishna's got the young boy, and it's so soft. Well, our hands become hardened from hard work, but Krishna's hands were very, very soft, and his lotus feet were very, very soft. So he took Akura's hand in his own, and smiling, he spoke as follows. Krishna is very expert in his speech. Now, they come together all the way from Nandagram, and when you travel with someone, you really start feeling like you're a unit. And then it's time that you just have to go in your own directions. But Akura didn't want to leave because he was with his Lord. And this is what he was longing for, always to be with Krishna. And now he was with Krishna. And look what Krishna's going to say. Take the chariot and enter the city ahead of us. Then go home. And after resting here a while, we will go to see the city. Now what do you think Akura said? Did he say, yes, O Lord, O Parameshwara, yes, your order is, carry it out. Because it was very difficult for him, because he was with Krishna, he wanted to remain with Krishna. Didn't want to leave him, so therefore he offers some.
Wouldn't he want to come to his house?
Of course, yes. Every Hindu would do that. You must come to my house. You must come to my house. He will say that. But not yet. First he will say, there's how many verses? 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. So how many verses is that from 11 to 16? How many verses?
Six.
Are you studying accounting? First you should study counting then. 11, 12, yeah. Sometimes you have to use it. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Okay, always remember that is why God gave us hands and fingers. But it is confusing, I have to admit. So these six verses, Akura is going to reply, Krishna, tell him, listen, just think of what that's like with the all-attractive, most ecstatic Supreme Person. And then he says, now you can go home. And a little later we'll enter the city of Mathura slowly after we've rested. Well, we can go. You have to report to council. So Akura said, oh, Master, without the two of you, I shall not enter Mathura. I'm your devotee. Oh Lord, it is not fair for you to abandon me, since you are always affectionate to your devotees. Now how is Krishna going to react to this? He prays in such a sweet way, I'm your devotee, I'm yours. It is not fair for you to abandon me. He brings out the evidence that you are known. You're always affectionate to your devotees. Come, let us go to my house. You must come to my house with your elder brother and the cowherd man and all your companions. You can bring everyone to my house. Oh, best of friends. Oh, he calls them the best of friends. Because how would you like to think about that way about Krishna? That he's the best friend. What do you think about that? Yeah. And if your friend is all powerful and all beautiful and so wonderful, and not only do you love him, he loves you, because friends means two. The relationship. Oh, best of friends, oh, transcendental Lord, in this way, please grace my house with its master. You are the master of my house. Please come with everyone. We should all go to my house. I'm simply an ordinary householder attached to ritual sacrifices, so please purify my home with the dust of your lotus feet. By that act of purification, my forefathers, the sacrificial fires, and the demigods will all become satisfied. There's also one, eventually Krishna does come to the house of Akura. And it's very, very interesting. Because even here, the way Akura is speaking, he's speaking that he wants Krishna to come for his purification, and that everyone in his family will be satisfied, will be purified and satisfied. So when he comes, when Krishna finally does come, which is in the 49th, 48th chapter, after comes this kid, he comes and of course starts praying to them, and like that, oh Supreme Lord, like that, and Krishna immediately tells him what to do. He wants something from him, he wants some service from him.